Blog Talk Radio.
All right, my brothers and my sisters, good afternoon and welcome to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and today we have a special guest with us, a returning guest, none other than Nelson Baldwin. He's a marketing director for World Financial Group in the Atlanta, Georgia area, a good friend of mine, a brother in Christ, and we just want to say welcome to Nelson to the show. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, thank you for having me. I'm doing great. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, we're going to get into it. For those who were not with us over the last couple of weeks, what we're doing this year, God really put it upon my heart, Nelson, to focus on financial empowerment. And the way it started off was a couple of months ago, that's what I thought the subject or the series was going to be for January 2019. And then God was like, nah, first quarter. Matter of fact, make it second quarter, too. So for the whole 6 months of this year, all we're going to be talking about is financial empowerment plus 2019. For those of y'all who do not know, the reason it's plus 2019 is because what all of these guests that God has led us to ask and invite to be on the show, they're giving you things. I'm going to give you some things that are going to take you beyond just this year. Nelson, you know, like I know, that every year, December 31st, folks are standing up in the pulpit. I'm sitting with them in the pulpit. Talking about what God's going to do next year, what God's going to do for you this year. And the truth be told, a lot of times people will get off to a good start. They'll get off with a good start in their mind. They're hyped. They're excited. The church service was good. All of that's good. The things on social media, the memes and everything like that. And then they don't realize that a shutdown is right at our front door. And now folks are concerned about how in the heck do I eat? Listen, last month I was up in Baltimore finishing the next book, and there were people standing in line, bro, government and contract employees in D.C., in that area, standing in line to get three sandwiches a day. So we talked about financial empowerment, and folks are like, I'm just trying to eat. I'm just trying to get along from day to day. I don't know when certain things are going to end. I don't know when the breakthrough is going to come. And that's our goal. Our goal is to help individuals to store something up, not just inside of their minds, but in their hearts and their spirits too. So that's going to be our focus today. Our focus today is really focusing on the mindset. And just go ahead and open it up, brother. Tell the people a little bit about yourself, what you do, your business, and then let's just get into it.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nelson Baldwin. My background is actually military. I'm from upstate New York, and I ended up in the military right after high school. And those ventures took me across the world, came back, and finished my career in Georgia, in Columbus, Georgia. So that's how I ended up in the South. Of course, loved it, loved the weather. Basically better than New York, so decided to stay in this area and started a business after I got out of the military, and never thought I'd be going into finances or the financial industry, but mm-hmm. It's always been in my heart to help people and help people at the greatest need, and of course there's two things I always talk about this that people never get taught, and that's how to deal with relationships and how to handle money. And I found out in the relationship field, if you take you get the money part right, a lot of times the relationship gets right in as a bonus. So my wife and I started our company in Columbus, Georgia. We have some awesome, wonderful agents that works with us. They're partners of ours down there. And we decided to, about a year and a half ago, to venture to the Atlanta area, to a bigger market, to see if we can bridge the gap between Columbus, Georgia, and Atlanta, Georgia. As you know, there's a huge economic difference when it comes to both cities, and we wanted to be that bridge to both cities. So that's how I got started. I'm up here now in Atlanta, near our corporate headquarters, and my goal is to help as many families as I can become financially secure, financially independent, and then financially free.
Mm. Secure, dependent, and independent and free.
Correct.
So
yeah, there's a difference.
There's a scripture. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I want that to resonate with everybody, because I don't believe the mind of Christ is a mind of poverty. I don't believe that the mind of Christ is people not being able to pay their bills. I'm not talking about folks that just go out there and do a bunch of stupid stuff or to be nice that make mistakes managing their money, right? I don't believe that's the type of mind that's the mind of Christ. I believe the mind of Christ is a mind of prosperity and of health and of wholeness and of healing. So when we see so many people, or when you see so many people going through what they're going through from a financial perspective, and not just people that are in a bad situation, sometimes people are doing well financially that I'm sure you deal with. They just are missing certain pieces that will make life a whole lot better for them if they put some things in place. So let's talk about this whole thing of the mind. From your perspective, what type of mindset do people really need to have to be financially empowered?
Oh, that's an excellent question. In my experience, in my endeavors with people, I will say the number one mindset is to have a mindset of abundance. I think not only from people's past experience they have a scarcity mindset, but also through the media, our own federal government, things that are happening globally across the world, a lot of times people, you know, they have a scarcity mindset, as if there's a lot of lack, there's not going to be enough. If somebody else is winning, I'm automatically losing. And really, I mean, I try to take it to, you know, you mentioned a scripture earlier. I like John 10:10. I mean, we know what the enemy comes to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I think that was a message to not only live, but live in abundance. As a matter of fact, one passage says, in abundance to the full until it overflows. So if you don't even believe there's a chance for an overflow, then you don't have an abundance mindset.
Mm.
And I think people get trapped. That's what traps people too, because the world is so vast, man. There's so much money on a daily basis being transferred, being, you know, money is moving. That's what it is. It's called currency. It's moving. So when you think there's not enough, then obviously you start to attract what you believe. And a lot of times people don't understand that. They get in this loop. They say they want more, right, out of their heads, or they say they want more because they need it, but then their hearts and their actions start speaking a different language. And you always get who you are in life, not what you want.
That's good. I like what you said about having that mindset of abundance. I thought about it. Listen, if somebody doesn't have a mindset of abundance, like you just said, they're already behind the power curve. And there's a very good example, not necessarily about the mindset of abundance, but looking in Genesis 46:47, when it talks about there was a severe famine in the land, and Joseph, they came to Joseph, the Egyptians came to Joseph, and they said, listen, we don't have anything to eat. And he said, sell me your livestock, give us your livestock and your cattle. And then he gave him food for 4 years. And then after the year was up, because it was a designated time of famine, people got to understand sometimes God has designated time periods. Instead
That's
of just
right.
believing I could see something is going to stop today. But then he came back after a year, and he said, listen, we honest. Should we just die before Pharaoh's eyes? And Joseph said, okay, well, what you got? And he said, they said, listen, we'll give you our land. Something so critical, brother. We'll give you our land. Mm-hmm. And then it says, if it even pleases Pharaoh to take us as his slaves. So Joseph was like, bet. And then here's the part I'm getting to. He turns around and Joseph says, I'll tell you what. He says, we'll give you seed to plant on the land.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let you keep 4/5 and 1/5 will come to Pharaoh. Plug in that right there, bro. Do you understand what just happened? Somebody else had an abundance mindset. Joseph and Pharaoh. Now, we know Joseph was a good guy, but he was up and he lived in Egypt, right? And we're not, and that's not the same Pharaoh in Exodus, the ones who enslaved the people. That's not that's a different Pharaoh. That's not Ramses. So, but it's amazing that they went for that. And they went for that because their backs was up against the wall. They didn't want to die. They said, should we die before Pharaoh's eyes twice? And so I think about how they were able to keep 4/5, but Pharaoh was able to keep 1/5. And I want people to understand, it may look like they're doing really good because they get to keep 4/5, right? The percentages say you got 4. But this joker's getting a fifth of everybody.
Exactly.
So they'll never. I can do $1 million that year, and I'm still not going to catch up. If I'm doing $1 million, I'll go on it, and I'm giving him what, 20, 200,000? Imagine how many people he's getting 200,000 from. I'm always behind the power curve, and so for me, my heart is that people focus on having a different mindset and not being comfortable.
Exactly. Exactly. Having a mindset of an owner, owner's mindset is a lot different than an employee's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about 4/5 and Pharaoh gets 1/5, somebody may think, oh, I'm good. I only got to give up a fifth. You know, but like you said, if you get a fifth of everybody in the state of Georgia, then you know, your 4/5 is not going to be equivalent. And then think about this: how does that work generationally? Because now, when Pharaoh, or in this case, let's say the owner, he passes down his wealth. And think about how many generations can eat and live off of those 1/5 from everybody, versus your children and your wealth being. Because typically when we leave wealth, and I say we as a whole, it hasn't, in the past, grown or overflowed or got to the overflow. A lot of times it dwindles down because people don't want to work the land, like you said. Pharaoh gave them seed and said, hey, if you plant this seed, and then we'll go ahead and let you keep 4/5. Why? Because then you can help yourself. Right, but when people don't want to deal with the land or deal with the house on the land, so they say, well, we'll sell it. And I've seen it a lot, man, and especially in families that own land for generations. Then all of a sudden, that the children or the children's children are like, I don't really want to deal with it, and they sell it off. And then somebody else comes along with that abundance mindset, and they put a mall on it, and then lease it back out to us, and we pay the mortgage on it. But I don't want to get into that.
You're about to get me started, man. Hey, we need to. People need to hear this. They need to hear that people are passionate about helping individuals get to a better place. Doesn't mean anybody's in a bad place, but we should be striving to get somewhere better. I mean, I get tired of the religious mentality that as long as you save, everything is good. No, the heck it ain't. You got folks that save living on the streets. You got folks that save going to church with you on Sunday morning and living in their car. That's real.
That's right.
I'm not saying specifically in your church, but I'm telling you, that's real in Columbus, Georgia. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And here's something. I went back to the scripture because it said, and Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day. That means they put something in effect. Again, we're reading this, but it said to this day. So we know that in the time that it was there, that it was happening, you go back and look at when it was in Exodus chapter 1, when we start dealing with when the children of Israel were enslaved, that law still was in effect. And now the whole point of it is, in Exodus chapter 1, it's a different generation. As a matter of fact, it says, I'm not looking at it, but it says that Pharaoh, and this again, it's a different Pharaoh, Pharaoh had no idea about Joseph and what Joseph had done. He didn't know Joseph. He had a relationship with Joseph. And remember, the reason they were enslaved was because Pharaoh said, man, these jokers is outnumbering us. And because they're outnumbering us, they may join up with our enemy. Why are you scared? The enemy work in a strange way. And I mean, that's the question. Why are you even scared that this is going to happen? They among you. But it was something going on. Oh, my God. You got me going. Can we talk about something real quick? I want to focus on receiving and giving with the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is when there's people, there's some people that are destined, some people that have a calling on their life like we do, to talk to people, to give them the tools that they need. That's one piece. But then there's another piece where people have to receive what is being given. So whichever way you want to start with that, let's talk about receiving and giving, the type of mindset that people need. Because if we're not talking to people, then why should we expect people to do better? Why should we expect people to have a different type of mindset than they already have right now? So,
absolutely. Well, I know that in the church world, the sectors, a lot of people hear is, and it is scriptural that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And people in my experience, they take that to mean that you should feel guilty if you receive it. Now it said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It didn't say it wasn't blessed to receive. It just said it's more blessed than to receive. Ooh. So I think there's a blessing on receiving too. As a matter of fact, if you don't know how to receive, how can you have the capacity to grow? Because you cannot grow until you can accept and stretch yourself. And if you can't receive, you can't fill it up. You can't be abundant if you can't receive. So I think a mindset that people have been, I don't want to say brainwashed because that came to mind, but I would say that the minds have been tampered with to think that if I receive, that there's something wrong with me. I should be giving. And then we get upset when the people receive and get blessed because we feel like taking. And a lot of times it's not that. There's a blessing in the receiving.
Can I jump on that real quick?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. More blessed to receive.
Exactly.
So in the receiving, you know, I think about the picture of a pitcher and a there has to be a connection between the pitcher and the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that there is a relationship between the catcher and the left outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But there got to be a special relationship between the pitcher and the catcher. See, the only way that the pitcher, the catcher knows what's coming is because of what he's communicating. Throw a curveball. Throw a fastball.
Exactly.
Pitcher's looking, saying, I want to throw a fastball. Catcher's like, nah. You know what I'm saying? Because he's looking and observing certain things.
Right.
So people got to get in, and here's the biggest thing. With a catcher, how many catchers on a baseball team actually are standing up? They're in a very unique position that if you and I were to get in that position, they have to be there for a long period of time throughout a game. I don't know about you, brother, but my military experience as well, my knees probably wouldn't be able to take it for about no more than 10 minutes.
Mine too, brother. Mine too.
So I think there's a direct connection between the mindset and positioning. If we want people to receive, God, then we got to condition people. We got to get them conditioned to be able to be in the right position. Now I'll say it. A lot of times, a lot of people going to church, sitting in the pew is not in the right position. I know some of my preacher friends and pastor friends probably got a problem with that, but that's okay. Just going to church sitting in the pew is not positioned all the time. It's positioned to get something, but that ain't conditioned for helping you with your finances. That's not conditioned for helping you with your parenting skills. Even if the man or woman of God standing up there has something positive to say about that, that's not part of a process. That's not me showing you anything. And it only lasts for a short little period. We need reinforcements.
Right.
To help people to get.
Man, boy, you hit something. You hit something there. Man, can I talk about that pitcher and catcher?
Oh, please do. Please.
Oh, man, because you hit it on the head. There's got to be communication between the giver and the receiver, the pitcher and the catcher. And when you mention position, you got to think about it. The catcher sees the whole field. They see everybody that's in their position, too. The pitcher, they got their back. He's got his back to most of them. So he's relying on what the catcher, what the receiver, what he's relying on what he is saying and communicating to him to know what to give him, to know what to throw. So I look at that, and I'm like, a lot of people are waiting on God to give. And really, he's like, you know, I need you to communicate with me and tell me what it is that what it is you want to do. You see your life, right? I know the plans I have for you, but you see your life too. Communicate with me. Tell me what you need so that I can give you the right things. And I think a lot of times we put our position, when you make a position, a lot of us, we think, you know, we ain't supposed to ask, or we can't. You know, God knows it all, and we don't have nothing to do with it. And no, a lot of times we're waiting for God to move, and he's waiting for us. He's waiting for you to save money, right? He's waiting for you to start that habit of giving back to him. He's waiting for you to do something so that he can bless. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive, but it didn't say it wasn't blessed to receive. So we got to get out of that mindset of just sitting around waiting for something to happen and not communicating the right things with God. Man, if that, I just think if that catcher messes up, the whole game is messed up. And he's the receiver.
Yeah. It shouldn't be a question of why so many churches and or people in churches are not doing the best that they possibly can do. Oh, listen to this one. This one right here. Do you realize that it is the catcher, not the pitcher, it's the catcher that is paying attention to a joker trying to steal from first to second?
Absolutely.
Second to third. So
that's
I take
good.
That back to your scripture, John 10:10b, or 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? The first part of the verse. Somebody's got to be looking out for the enemy coming to steal, kill. Somebody has to be looking out. I mean, I don't say nothing. Listen, I love my pastoral friends, right? I do, and those in position. But doggone it, they are not able. Most of the people that I know that's in the pastor position of congregational pastor is not able to look out for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Not able to do it. They don't have that type of visibility. They don't know what's really going on. Think about what I talked about this earlier and said how many people was getting 3 sandwiches a day up in D.C. How many pastors know who's actually standing in the line?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So there has to be somebody on the team that's able and has a responsibility for looking at these things. Now, we do know that the pitcher is oftentimes looking out at his peripheral. But peripheral vision is not direct, is not the same as direct vision.
Yep. Not the same as the catcher or the receiver. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's big. And you know what? I just believe that I believe what the word says. I mean, we are supposed to live an abundant life. And a lot of times we're not living an abundant life because of whatever limiting beliefs or past hurts or whatever it is that we struggle through, or, and me included, have struggled through. But at the same time, if you don't actively start to change your mind, we have the most powerful computer on the face of this earth, and it's called our mind. And if we don't, start changing it and understanding that, you know, so I take it back to my pastor who said, you know, the limitations that used to be in place are not in place anymore. It's not in place. It's like the elephant when he was a baby. You chain him to a wooden stake, and he can't move because of the wooden stake. Then once he's a big, powerful animal who can literally just walk and take the stake out the ground, he still doesn't move. But the limitation he believes in his mind is still there. And I think a lot of times we are caught in that same trap where we think the man is trying to bring us down, or racism this, racism that. And don't get me wrong. I know that there is racism in this world. But we have the power in and of ourselves to pull ourselves out of our situation with the help of God, but to also be as abundant and as prosperous as we want to be. The only thing that's limiting us is our minds. I believe that. There's too many examples. Because there's too many examples of people that's done it.
That's right.
Right?
That's
right. And if God doesn't respect their person, so if one person can do it, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
He's showing us the blueprint. He or she is showing us the blueprint.
I think about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it says, verse 18, it says, but remember the Lord. And I'm not trying to quote it, but it says, I know this part, but remember the Lord, because he's the one who gives you the ability or the power to get wealth, to produce wealth.
To get wealth.
So whenever something starts off and it says, but remember, then that means that's at a where God has already said, listen, here's what I'm about to give to you. But when I give it to you, I need you to remember the Lord. I need you to remember me, that I'm the one who gave you this ability. And so the mindset should be focusing on God. God is the one that has control of everything. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, right? Everything that was created, the world and everything in it, God. And then to be able to say, have a mindset and say, listen, Christ didn't come for me to be robust and disgusting.
That's right.
He came for me to have life and have it more abundantly. So since that's what he did, and God is the one who owns everything, I got to have the mindset as we get ready to go to remember the Lord. Remember that he's the one who gave me the ability. It didn't say the Lord gave him what. It says it's the Lord who gives him the ability. So the mindset has to start changing about I got the ability to do this. I want folks to believe, brother, by the time we get through all of this, I want brothers and sisters to believe what you said, that Jesus said, John 10:2, I've come to give life and give life more abundant. Brother, in the last 35 seconds, go ahead and you just give us a closing, tell people how to contact you, and we're going to get ready to go ahead and close it out for the day.
All right. Well, I mean, what came to mind to me was this. I have the formula for people to get anything in life that they want. And, of course, that formula came from the Bible. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And when I hear that, understand that that's God's way of doing things. And then it says, when you seek first the kingdom, first, then all other things will be added to you. So if you want the things in life that you don't have currently, the formula is seek God first. Seek the kingdom of God first. And then once you seek God, his way of doing things, all the things that you desire will be added to you. So that's That's for me. I'll tell you that now. That's for me. but yeah, people can reach me on Facebook at Nelson Baldwin. My number is 706-580-6342. My email is nbaldwin, first initial, last name, at TC, Team Champions, TCWFG.com. And, man, it was a pleasure talking with you today. I know we can go on for hours, man. But,
you
stirred me up today.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, everybody, we're thankful that you've been with us today. It is 1 o'clock, so we're going to respect everybody's time. Just know on this Friday, this is the third Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune back in to the same number, 347-215-7934, or get to us through our website, prfministry.org, or blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. And on Friday, we have none other than Kimberly Silas out of Atlanta, Georgia, who hosts our other show, which is called Your Health is Your Wealth. I guarantee you that there's going to be a connection between what we're talking about today and what she's going to talk about on Friday. So I encourage you to come back and get with us again on the 26th here at the PRF table as we continue this series on Financial Empowerment Plus 2019. Again, Brother Baldwin, thank you so much. God bless you, sir. And God bless all of you who are listening and who are heed to what the Spirit is trying to do for you in your life right now. God bless.